Being an expert on general automotive knowledge, what would the correct ignition timing be on a 1955 Bel Air Chevrolet with a 327 cubic inch engine and a four-barrel carburetor?
It is a trick question.
Watch this.
Because Chevy didn't make a 327 in 55. The 327 didn't come out till 62. And it wasn't offered in the Bel Air with a four-barrel carb till 64. However, in 1964, the correct ignition timing would be 4 degrees before top dead center.
Get ready for another hour of Drive Radio, brought to you by Colorado Select Auto Care Centers. Got a question for the experts? Then give them a call, 303-477-5600. Now it's time to pop the hood and get our hands dirty. Drive Radio on KLZ 560, The Source.
All right, we are back. Drive Radio, KLZ 560. Lines are open, by the way, 303-477-5600. We've got one call coming in. We'll get you handled here momentarily. Bernard, hang tight. Kent, I had a text question come in that I wanted to get to you quickly before we move on to anything else. And this is, what does your glass guy, so this is Kent from Novus, think of glass weld scratch remover? They say it doesn't distort glass. We have a couple tiny scratches to remove in our friend's collision shop. Have the glass weld system, and they rave about it. Does it work? Does it not work? Kent, what's your thought?
Well, I don't know much about that system, but any scratches in glass, very small scratches can be removed if it's done correctly, but the deeper the scratch, the more it will distort that window. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, and I don't know what the glass weld scratch remover system is. I guess I'll have to do a little research on that, Kent. But I'm always a little skeptical because glass is glass is glass. And it really, you know, as you know, Kent, it's not repairable other than filling in a pit and things like that.
Yeah. And if it's tempered glass, I don't think you can remove those scratches at all in tempered glass.
Because of the way it's made, right?
The laminated windshield, you probably could remove very minor scratches, but you're kind of sanding the windshield out. You're just removing part of it, and it will distort it. So it's almost better just move on, get a different windshield, and be done.
Yeah, and again, folks, I think, by the way, this is Kent's world. It's what he does on a daily basis. I really think this is going to come down to the actual window itself. You know, is it front? Is it a side? Is it a back glass? What are you trying to remove? I'm sorry. I've got enough Missouri blood in me where I'd have to say I'm a show-me guy. Can't show me before I believe in it.
Yeah, I definitely show, you know, look and see how it can be done or what it will look like afterwards. We see it all the time with side windows in this area. They get scratched from being used over and over, and the only way to fix that is just replace it.
And I'm looking at the system, by the way, that the glass weld uses, and essentially it really is still, I mean, I'm watching it. They're buffing the glass, which, again, personally I've tried on my own, and the reality is, depending upon, Kent, you're exactly right. Depending upon the glass and how deep the scratch is, I don't care how much buffing on that you do, it's not going to fix it.
No, it's not. And Novus offers a system like that to sand out scratches, and you're basically wet sanding that glass to get the scratch out.
Right. Yep. All right. That's what I appreciate that. Thank you. So if you're listening, there's your answer. I'd have to see it. Try it. If it's a low cost, maybe it'd be worth looking at, but I want to know what the results are before I personally would do it. Bernard, you're next. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, 2002 Ranger.
Okay.
I have no problem starting it, but sometimes, intermittently, I'm driving around and the theft light will come on and kill the engine. I take my foot off the accelerator and it recovers. And I just drive around, but not as aggressive and like it never happened, but it's just intermittent.
And it is for sure, I mean, you know the vehicle, it's the theft light that's coming on and shuts it down.
Yeah, after it happened a few times, then I noticed it. It was flashing, but then when it shuts down, it kills the engine.
Do you have two keys?
Yeah, when it's steady, it kills the engine.
Go ahead, Josh.
Do you have two keys for the car?
I have a fob and one key.
Okay. Because if you had two keys, I'd say put the other key in and drive around with that. So we need to know
I do have a spare key. Okay.
Go drive all day with the spare key and see if it happens. Because it's either, usually the key can actually go bad because there's a little transponder chip in there, or there's a ring around where the key goes, and that's what excites the key and has the key give it signal. So it might be dropping out there. If not, you know, then it goes to the PATS module, and that's a long road from there. But that's what I always recommend. First thing, just switch keys and see what happens.
Okay. All righty. Sounds great.
All right. No, Bernard, thank you, by the way. Great call, and you're listening to Josh Goff, Legacy Automotive, Ridgeline Auto Brokers. They're up in Boulder. Second location, fully open now, ready to go. I've talked about that during the week, but just to make sure you all listening understand, in Fort Collins, up, ready to go. Technicians there, service advisor, manager there. We'll have the ability even to, you know, shuttle cars. So go look at the website. If there's a car you see and you're in Fort Collins, we can make all of that work as well. Did I miss anything?
No, we're ready to go.
You guys are now. You'll see more changes coming. We're going to do some fascia things on the building and some signage and different things. So you'll see changes coming along for those of you that are up in that Fort Collins world. But yes, we're going to be doing more and more as time goes by. So yeah, if you're up in the Fort Collins area and you want that handled, you want to buy a new used car, get your car fixed. We've got all that available. Ridgeline Auto Brokers and Legacy Automotive as well. And we've had some new members join us as well. Accountable Automotive up in Broomfield. We've got another Fort Collins shop as well. Alltech Automotive. Look at the website to see where you're located and who can accommodate you. And we're going to do our best to even add more to our network as time goes by. So always look at the website, drive-radio.com. Bob and Conifer, you're next.
Hi, John. A while back, you were talking about when you do EPR oil change to let the car idle and not drive it around the block for 5 minutes. Can you go over that again?
Yes, in direct injection engines especially. Now, EPR can be used in all engines, but specifically used in direct injection engines. And if you guys don't know what that is, look it up. There's some great demos even on YouTube that explain a direct injection, how it works. But the injector, rather than being in the intake manifold, is in the cylinder head itself. It changes the way the engine actually functions, the carbon buildup and so on, and it's much greater in a direct injection engine than it is in any of the other types of engines we've had in the past, Bob. So EPR does a good job of cleaning the ring lands and things along those lines from the underside. It's in the oil itself. You would, at the time of an oil change, add the EPR, let the engine, typically you add it cold, you let the engine warm up, idling or at about 1100 RPM, your choice, but you get the engine warmed up. Then you would take all of the engine oil out, remove it. You really don't want to drive the vehicle around because you don't want the engine under load while driving it. Now, some have, and I've had some reports back where they've been okay doing it, but that is not our recommendation. You want to do this at the time of the oil change, bring it up to temperature for about 10 to 15 minutes, and then pull that oil out.
Okay, great. Okay, second question. A couple weeks ago, you were talking about cutout switches. I've got a 2006 Corvette and I want to put one in, and you were talking about the best place to hook it into.
And that's going to vary from vehicle to vehicle. In your case, and I'm okay, question for you. Are you worried about it when you're out and about or at home?
Out and about.
Okay, so when you're out and about, you want to make sure that it's got some sort of a cutoff on it to where somebody just can't climb in and leave. Personally, I would put a cutoff switch that you would have to get inside of the vehicle first to access it, and then I would hide that cutoff switch somewhere where it would be unseen by a proposed thief, and there's multiple options for that. Now, where I would go with this would be cutting off a circuit, not necessarily the start switch. I hate cutting the start motor circuit. And I know that it happens at times. You know, the old alarm companies would do it. If you get a DUI and you have to have a breathalyzer put in, they cut that wire. But I, Bob, am somebody that if you do not have to cut that, do not. And my feeling is, in your particular case, you would put a cutoff switch to the fuel pump relay, for example, or the ECM itself. There's multiple circuits you could put a cut circuit in, and I would do that versus just the whole start circuit.
Okay, and then
especially on that car.
Yep, you told me about a place close to me in Napa Place. I want to get transmission fluid changed on a 2011 Cadillac, low mileage, but years.
You've got two choices because you're really halfway between. When you drive down the mountain from 285, you can go to Geno's over at Bowles and Platte Canyon, just head down 470 and make the loop, and they're not far off of 470 and Platte Canyon, Platte Canyon Road, which, by the way, comes right off of 470. So you can either go there or you can go north and head up to Arvada West over in Arvada. You're about halfway in between those two coming off of 285.
Okay.
Either All one right. could do that, Bob.
All right. Thank you very much, John. You guys have a great
you
day.
You too, okay? Bob. Appreciate you very much. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right. Frank and Thornton, Becky in Wyoming, you guys have questions. We've got answers. Kent, again, from Novus Auto Glass up in Sterling is with us. Josh Goff and Justin, both from Legacy Automotive and Ridgeline Auto Brokers. Again, two locations to service you guys now on that. Both of them are listed at drive-radio.com or ridgelineautobrokers.com. We'll be right back. Drive Radio, KLZ 560.
Geno's Auto Service in Littleton is having a strut sale. Struts help in the stability and handling of your vehicle and provide a better ride. This month, get a $50 NAPA rebate with the installation of two NAPA Quick Struts or a $150 rebate with four NAPA Quick Struts. Have you had your struts checked recently? At Geno's, we check your struts every oil change. Stop in this month and we'll check your struts for free. For over 40 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. We back up our work with NAPA's nationwide, peace of mind, 36-month, 36,000-mile warranty. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Don't forget to check out all our Geno's Google reviews for a good snapshot of our business. Give us a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit us online at genosautoservice.com. That's Genos with a J.
Your next oil change could change the life of your vehicle forever. If you think that's a tall order, maybe you've been getting the wrong oil change. A BG Performance oil change
BG
comes with a lifetime of engine and fuel system coverage. And something else, peace of mind. Where do you find it? Find a shop in your neighborhood at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Because an oil change that offers a lifetime of peace of mind is a change worth making.
BG.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Your local Napa Auto Care Center is independently owned, operates by a written code of ethics, and provides service you can trust. Put your vehicle in the care of ASC-certified technicians in your neighborhood. They're backed by Napa. Quality parts, national warranties, that's Napa know-how. Your Napa Auto Care Center might just be the treated me fairly, I love those guys place you've been looking for your vehicle. Find a location at NapaOnline.com.
Napa know-how!
If you're looking for great quality eye care, look no further than Stack Optical. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and for over 20 years, Alan Stack has been taking care of our optical needs. At Stack Optical, they handle all of your eyewear needs with glasses, prescription glasses, shooting glasses, sunglasses, contacts, eyeglass repairs, and yes, even eye exams. And those eye exams are only $69. And if you've been told you've got a complicated prescription, that's just one of the specialties at Stack Optical. At Stack Optical, they have their own on-site lab, and in most cases, you can have your new glasses in just 2 to 3 days. Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, free and up-close parking. Call them today, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578, or visit stackoptical.com. And remember, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
All All right, by the way, somebody else texted in, for a good car for a teen driver would be a used Kia Soul. Cheap to buy, cheap to service, cheap to insure, cheap gas. You know, can't argue with that. No. I mean, I can't argue with that one at all. I've got another question that came in. We'll answer this one here in a moment. Let me get Becky, who is next, handled. Becky, welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a quick question. I am in the market and buying not a new vehicle, maybe a used vehicle, and I'm looking at maybe a 2022 TLX Acura. What are your thoughts on that?
TLX is a good car. Nothing wrong. Actually, the whole Acura line, there's not a bad car in their lineup.
Okay. And I did have a TL 2011. But I was listening to you guys about all these bells and whistles and about how expensive they are. I mean, like if I happen to have a windshield repair, and I'm like, oh my God, do I really want to buy that car now?
Well, that is actually a factor, especially on that car, because it does have some bells and whistles. And yes, that will be a factor. But again, Becky, I can't take anything away from the car. It's a good car.
You're awesome. Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to know.
You're very welcome, Becky. Yeah, not at all. Yeah, would I hesitate to buy that car? No. I mean, the entire Acura lineup, that's the luxury side of Honda, like Lexus is the luxury side of Toyota. Yeah, I have no problem with any of the Acura sides at all, whether it be their SUV. We just reviewed one of their sports sedans not too long ago. We've got a review coming up here, by the way, at the bottom of the hour, so listen in for that, the new RX 450H. But Frank and Thornton, you're next. Go ahead. Are you there, Frank?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hi, we got a 2017 Sportage.
Okay.
And the air conditioning unit just started blowing hot air.
Okay.
And I was curious, does it have, on that particular model, any tells to what it could be, whether it just needs to be recharged? We talked to a guy, and he said automatically it's going to cost us $200 almost to put it on a machine to check it out. I used to be able to diagnose this stuff by ear, you know.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore.
No sight glasses either,
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, that went with R12.
Those are gone.
Yeah, that was back in the day. But, yeah, you know, it's probably has a low state of charge, and why does it have that? You know, is it the compressor, one of the lines, the Schrader valves? And that's what they're really trying to find with, you know, charging to do all this stuff, is to figure out what's leaking and repair it, because we don't want that. All those refrigerants going up.
Legally, Frank, they can't do it any other way according to state law, or actually federal law. They can't do it any other way, Frank.
Okay, I just took curious. You know, I check fuses and things like that. Nothing bad there. The car just turned 14,000 miles. I mean, it's not driven a whole bunch.
Here's another test too, Frank, just to see if we've got something control related or not. Put it in defrost mode and see if the compressor comes on.
Yeah,
because that'll tell us whether we've got something weird, maybe with the circuitry or anything. I mean, it eliminates that end of things, is my point. If it doesn't come on with the defroster, then we know we've got some sort of, like Josh said, state of charge, something along those lines.
Perfect. And we are thinking about doing a BG oil change.
Perfect. It needs it.
Is that expensive compared to a normal oil?
They are more money. For all of you listening, if you've got a direct injection vehicle, plan on an oil change, because the days of a $50 oil change, well, those are gone, period, whether you're driving a direct injection or not. But if you're driving a direct injection vehicle, by the time you're done with a full service, it's gonna be $150 or more.
Okay. Perfect.
That's and Thornton, Frank, you're close to Accountable Automotive over in Broomfield. Mark over there would be happy to take care of you. You're not far from him. He'd be happy to do that for you.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. My guys love the show.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it very much. All right, before we go to break, and we've got a little longer break with a review that we're going to squeeze in here. 2014 Chevy Silverado, having an issue with the lights randomly coming on when the truck is off, parked in the garage, light switch is also off, but usually have it on auto. But in this case, it's completely turned off. Why would those lights be coming on? Thoughts?
Headlights, drive lights, which?
Headlights. 2014 Silverado. Light switch?
I would check the light switch, but that's also when we had the BCMs in the Chevys that we do all the time. And you get all kinds of weird gremlins for those.
Okay.
So lack of turn signals, lack of, you know, headlights or headlights coming on. And the BCMs weren't the greatest component.
So when you're this person texting, give us a little more info, if you would. Is it just headlights? Do you see other lights inside of the vehicle? actually coming on as well, all of that would kind of help us kind of delve into what's happening.
Power locks, having issues. I think the windows were on that BCM,
yes,
too.
Yes, they were.
So
there were a lot of things on
those back
then. A
lot of different
then.
Things on that BCM. It did a lot of work, and also was kind of the PATS module or the security module on that truck, too. So it could be the beginning of something.
Okay. Okay. So just as a side note, text me back a few other details, and I'll try to answer that a little bit better if we can. Joe in Jersey, what's going on?
Well, John, first, I don't know if your listeners know, but I learned something new. I didn't realize that all new cars have an auxiliary battery. If you have a car where it shuts off at a red
light. Start, stop, yes. Start, stop has a special starter with a battery running that start, stop system.
Now, I called you a couple of weeks ago. My wife's 21 Jeep Grand Cherokee, never on the first start of the day, but on the second or third start of the day, she would take a two-mile trip, go in the store, get out, and the car would crank and crank and crank and wouldn't catch. And then she'd shut it off, and then it would catch on the second attempt. But it wasn't a check valve or anything or fuel pump because it would always start first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys at Jeep, and I'll ask your opinion, they said, well, the fact that auxiliary battery was deader than a doornail and would not take a charge was resulting in a weak spark, which is why we were having trouble starting. So they replaced that dead auxiliary battery. The problem has not reoccurred. So what's your thought? Were they just stringing me along, or is that a possibility?
I've never heard of that, Joe. Doesn't mean that it's not a possibility. Again, the entire start circuit, of course, it's doing several things at that same time, but I've never seen a start-stop battery bad not causing a vehicle to start, causing a vehicle not to start. I've never seen that.
Well, that's what they said was the source of the problem. They replaced it. It wasn't much. No labor and materials, $300. And the problem has not reoccurred since they did that. But I was skeptical. But it has apparently fixed the problem. And by the way, if you have a Jeep, your batteries are now, it used to be just a passenger seat. Now they have one under the driver's seat, one under the passenger seat.
Yep.
So it's a bear to get to if you have to replace them.
Correct.
And that auxiliary battery, for those who are not familiar, in the Jeep, is only the size of a book.
Yeah, they're not very big.
Anywhere
yeah.
close.
Right.
Just about the size of a hardcover
book. It's an AGM
book, so.
Battery is what it is. And yeah, they're not very big.
Not very big. So,
and I guess, Joe, I mean, anyway, as I think through this, if that had enough draw on the whole system whereby it's even causing some quote-unquote interference back to the ECM, could that affect the starting of the vehicle? It's not so much what they explained in regards to the charging side of the fence. It's not that. It's more just what drain is happening, and is it interfering with different signals going to the ECM? Yeah, I could see that being an issue. I wouldn't say it the way they said it, but could that have interference and cause a problem? I could see that.
Yeah, and again, talk about drain. You know, obviously, if you start and only go 2 miles and then shut it off, the battery hasn't had a chance to fully recharge from
Correct.
The initial
Correct.
Restart. So, and again, that was the symptom. It would only happen on the second or third start of the day, never on the first start.
It would make sense. I mean, again, I can't argue with them. I've never heard of that, although that's a really, really unique situation that you're in causing that.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd share that
Makes
with
sense.
You and your listeners. And again, I didn't know that these new cars had more than one battery,
yep.
but you told me every new car has them if you've got the
If you got start,
way,
stop, you've
I
got
always,
it.
The first thing I do out of habit is I disable the that start, stop every single time. Hopefully that will lead to a longer battery life on that.
You would hope so, because you're not using it as much, although with time, as you know, any battery is going to degrade no matter what.
This one went dead. It was a 21, so this was
That's pretty quick.
50,000 miles.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, 3 years. And they said it wouldn't take a charge, so obviously something inside the battery failed.
Obviously, yep.
And they said it had pulled, this is their words, it had pulled down the main battery. The main battery was less than a 50% charge. And they said if you don't catch it soon enough, it'll kill the main battery. I don't know how to come to that conclusion.
I don't know that's the case, but again, I don't think they're explaining that correctly, but In relation to all that, Joe, you again, as you heard me earlier, you know what Jeep stands for, right?
Yep.
There you go.
Actually, John, I wasn't listening early. I think I heard you talk, but refresh my memory. I wasn't on earlier.
Jeep means just empty every pocket.
I know. When my wife wanted to buy this car from her nephew, he had it on lease, and I told her it's got a horrible repair record, reliability
yep.
record, but she loves her. She's been driving it.
Yeah, that's all right.
And she loved this one, and she's only going to put 4,000 miles
You're fine.
A year on it.
You're good.
So, anyway.
All right, Joe, appreciate you, man. Have a good one. We've got a review coming up next. Richard did, and I, earlier in the week, Lexus RX450H. We'll be right back. Drive Radio, KLZ 560. All right, we are back, and as we have from time to time, try to do on a really routine basis, car reviews. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had one, but Richard, you have recently driven a 2024 Lexus RX Hybrid. Talk about that.
Yeah, so this is the 450H trim level, Dad, which is what it's new to the lineup this year. And essentially what it's done is it's the same RX that kind of everyone's known to grow and learn love and grow in and all sorts of other things. But ultimately, the biggest factor here is the 450H provides you with a plug-in option in that regard. And so that it gives you about 37 miles or so of plug-in only, battery-only range,
right?
Which is a nice amount. Nothing super crazy, but in that segment, it's definitely very reasonable. And then once you exhaust that plug, the battery and the plug-in range, it operates just like the hybrids, the Toyota hybrids do, which you and I have been known to love, right? And you'll express
Absolutely.
Our adulation for because they work really, really well in how they work and everything about them. And so outside of that, this is the 450H. This is the luxury trim, kind of the top of the line RX that you can get. It's got pretty much everything you could want inside of it, Dad, right? It's got it's got heated and ventilated seats, heated and ventilated rear seats even. It's got, dual or tri-zone climate control, I think maybe even four quad-zone climate control. I'm not sure on that one. All of the safety, technology, that sort of thing. The only thing I'll say, and I'm going to have you and I keep saying this until Lexus decides to listen to us, Dad, I cannot stand the driver alert system in the new Lexuses and Toyotas. I'm sorry. I've got to say it.
They drive you crazy.
And I, and Toyota, I love you guys, and they've done a fantastic job, right, Dad, on a lot of their vehicles. But that thing beeps at you if you got
nanny.
Your head to the side.
It's a nanny.
It is, and it just... it yells at you. Well, you need to, driver, sit up. I'm like, people, I'm sitting up. I'm just sitting on my center console. So that's, if that literally is probably the only bone I have to pick with the car. And some people would say, because some of these other reviews are, the price point on this car is just too high because the price point on this car is about $75,000,
right,
which for an RX is pretty high. But you and I are never big to knock it on that because you know what? That's what they've priced it at, right?
Usually competitive among other things they're competing with, or they wouldn't be selling it in the first place. So that part doesn't bother me.
Well, and here's the deal. You're paying extra for the plug-in technology, the larger battery or pack, things of that nature. And so, folks, for some of you, and you can go and get out. Go get a 350H that's fully kind of, jazzed up, whatever you want to say, for about $60,000, $60,000 to $65,000. So you're paying to $10,000 to $15,000 more for this car. But you may want all of those features plus the ability to plug in because, Dad, as you and I have talked about, that 37 to 45 mile range is a lot for, or is good, I should say.
Yeah, for a lot of people, they may not, in other words, they probably will not be doing but a tank of gas a month. For a lot of people.
Precisely. Especially in that case, right? It's going to allow people to, again, cut down on their gas bill. They still get all of the amenities that you have. And I will say this, when they redesigned the RX, it's a nice car.
It
drives well. It's got some really nice creature comforts in it. The infotainment system.
Well, they were the innovator of that whole class of cars.
They were, and that class of car, the RX, again, folks, has been around for a number of years, right, Dad? You know, it's really become a successful car for them because it can do – it's a very – it's got a lot of utility, right? You can do a lot with this car. And so that's the one thing that I enjoyed, was able to put the kids in the back, went to football, was able to open that back trunk, put all the gear in it, put backpacks in, and I didn't have to worry, right? I didn't have to sacrifice a lot of space. One thing about the luxury trim level, Dad, you get a lot of nice apportionment throughout the car, right? It kind of fits the bill in terms of that luxury kind of standpoint. And then again, in terms of fuel economy, basically once you exhaust that battery only, folks, the only thing I can say is you're essentially going to get the same car that you would have gotten if you had gotten that, you know, the 358 version of the hybrid. And again, as you and I have said, they have sort of they've perfected, right, is the best way I know how to say it, the hybrid technology.
They really have a lot of their vehicles,
a lot of their classes. And
absolutely.
So I'm a fan. I really liked it, Dad. And again, price point or not, whatever it is, my biggest gripe, as I said before, is just the nannying done by the driving system. But that's kind of becoming more and more common. Lexus wants people to be safe. I just wish it was a little bit easier to turn off. That's my only personal opinion. But outside of that, we encourage folks, Dad, get out, test drive them. Even if it's not the exact model that you and I are talking about, we just encourage people to get out and put their kids in it, put their family, put their friends in it. So head to your local Lexus dealer. And when you do that, let them know that John and Richard Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio sent you. Napa
know-how! Something really cool happened in 1975. And no, it wasn't the beginning of the disco era. Congress passed the Magnuson-Moss Act. You don't have to take your vehicle back to your dealer to keep your vehicle manufacturer's warranty in effect. Our Napa Auto Care Center uses the proper replacement parts and procedures to keep that warranty valid. Visit our independently owned Napa Auto Care Center today. Find a store at NapaOnline.com. Napa Know
How! You're driving down the road and out of nowhere comes a bang. A huge rock just hit your windshield and now you have a star in your windshield. Did you know that chip can be fixed? But who is the best? Who has the best resins that keep developing them to work with the newest windshields? That would be Novus Autoglass. Novus, which is the Latin word for innovate, invented windshield repair in 1972, and it still leads the industry in cutting-edge technology, backed by more patents than any other repair and replacement company. While other glass repair services offer limited warranties, or worse, none at all, you can trust the original Novus pros to stand behind their work with a full refund that you can use towards a windshield replacement for the life of your windshield. Find a Novus location near you by going to any of our websites, ready-radio.com, drive-radio.com, or fixitradio.com. Just click on the Novus link. That's Novus Autoglass.
You are responsible for making sure that you are properly insured, but you're not alone. While Paul Leuenberger believes in personal accountability, he wants to make sure he's setting you up for success as your home and auto insurance agent. Paul will teach you about how you can save money on your premium while being fully covered in case of a loss. Your insurance should be for emergencies, not petty cosmetic issues. Insurance is not a coupon, your bank account, or for maintenance. Paul Leuenberger will tell you that your insurance is for emergencies. And when you work with Paul, you'll be rewarded for your diligence. Ask him about their incentivizing rebate program. Take a higher deductible and take responsibility. It's just one of the ways they can afford to keep their rates low. Take control of your life. Take responsibility for your insurance coverage. Call Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance now at 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789.
All right, we are back. Drive Radio, KLZ 560. Kent from Novus Auto Glass up in Sterling with us today. Justin from Ridgeline Auto Brokers and Legacy Automotive up in Boulder with us, as well as Josh Goff, the owner of both as well. And again, we've got the Fort Collins location up and running. So those of you that are up in that area looking for a new used car or get your existing car taken care of, as time goes by, we'll have full service up there doing everything from, you know, diesel repair to EV repair and everything in between. Plus all of your vehicle accessories, truck accessories, four-wheel drive accessories, all of that, we'll have that available as well. It'll just taking us a little bit of time to get things built up and going, but it is a ongoing process that's building by the week, right? Is that the best way to say that?
Exactly. Yeah, we have techs up there now, and give Adair a call up there.
Is there a different phone number for it versus Boulder?
What is it? It's 970.
Hang on, let me type this out. Here we go. 970-212-7576. All right. So those of you that are up in Fort Collins, there is your number for that. Okay. This is something that you guys, I don't know, Kent, you might want to chime in on this as well. Somebody said, hey, I don't hear as much about catalytic converter theft going on as much anymore. Can you give an update on whether law enforcement did something to stop it? Where are we at with that? Thoughts, Josh, you can start.
I keep losing them. So.
They're still there, right?
I keep paying for them.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much in the news as what it once was, but yeah, they're still being stolen.
Oh, they're still being stolen.
I hear vehicles driving around with them stolen. So yeah, I know they're still being stolen. That's not an issue.
You were talking about the Ring cameras and home cameras in the last show. Well, there's a reason that both of our shops have those, and it's because of that.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So. Kent, up there, is that still an issue?
I haven't seen as much of it. I'm sure it is.
Okay. So it's still a big factor, folks. In fact, just the theft of vehicles alone is still a big issue. So let's go to Dave in Westminster is next. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. I've got a car that's going to go into a collision center to be checked out. I already had an estimate from the other person's insurance adjuster.
Okay.
Do they normally check for a bent frame? Because of the way this car was hit, I suspect the frame is bent on.
What kind of vehicle?
Subaru four-door.
There's no frame.
No frame?
No, those are all unibody, so it's a unibody construction. For those listening, make sure I explain that you may look underneath a lot of vehicles, and you'll see what you think is a frame rail, but it's just a structural component of the unibody that they attach suspension and things to. It'll look like it's a frame, but if you look closely, Dave, you'll notice that that's integrated into the body itself. There's not that many vehicles today made that are what we call a body on frame construction. You've got to get into more of your trucks and SUVs for that. I don't know of any cars today any longer made that are not unibody. Unibody's pretty much taken over everything. So to answer your question, if there's structural damage, they'll put that on a machine. We call it a frame machine, although that's not really what it is, but it's a machine that will go through all of the specs to make sure that things are put back into order in the correct spot. Now, the question that I have for you is, what year is this car?
It's a 2017 Forester.
And how much damage is being, how much estimated damage is already there?
The first estimate came in a little over $6,000.
Okay.
Now, see, what's got me curious is because...
And where was it hit, Dave?
Pardon me?
Where was it hit, real quick, before we move on?
On the right rear quarter panel.
Okay, so right rear accident.
Yeah, and it was hit by a full-size pickup.
Okay. I'm surprised they're fixing it.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, they probably just want to get into the body shop to pull a few things off, and then they'll total it.
Yeah, I will doubt seriously, Dave, if it gets repaired without a total.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Can I ask you kind of a silly question?
No, there's never a silly question. Go ahead.
No, this one's right borderline of being stupid. But
no, go ahead.
When you were a kid, did you ever order anything from J.C. Whitney?
I did not, but I competed with them on a daily basis because I had stores back then that I had to compete with them on. Absolutely.
Yeah, we always thought it'd be cool to have, like, thrush mufflers and the little moon details.
Yep, they sold a lot of that.
One thrush muffler would have looked ridiculous on my 62%.
No, I know. That's not a dumb question. That was a popular thing. I mean, before the internet existed, it was J.C. Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. We used to check them out of the school library just so we look cool.
I would have customers literally bring those in, lay them on the counter, and I had to explain to them that what they were buying was not what I was selling, even though it may have looked the same. Mm-hmm. It was not the same product at the end of the day. Mine, what I was selling was much higher quality than what J.C. Whitney was selling.
Yeah, we even had an auto parts store because we were cheap. you would go down and you could buy reconditioned spark plugs for like $2.
Oh, reconditioned plugs, good one. Okay, getting back to your Subaru, Dave, I want to walk you through this because a lot of people listening, this is valuable to them as well if there's ever an accident. So next steps, it's going to go to the collision center. They're going to take a few things apart. There will be what they call a supplemental estimate that is written. It's called a supplement. There'll be a supplement order written, and then it's going to be determined, do they total that vehicle or not? I would highly, highly, highly suggest to you, you push as hard as you can to get it totaled.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay? I'm just one of those where, I'm sorry, I'm not superstitious, but when cars are wrecked, they're wreck magnets. I don't know why. It's just the way it is. Once it's wrecked, I'm never owning it again. I don't care what damage has been done. You know, unless it's like a bumper fascia or something, that's, you know, not talking those lines. But if it's got any kind of damage like this, I'm not owning it down the road, period.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Great information.
And now, where it really gets dicey, too, is making sure that you get your full value out of everything when it's all said and done. And what I mean by that is, you know, depending upon condition of the vehicle, is it a cream puff? Is it low mileage? You've got to make sure you're getting fully compensated on that total when it's all said and done.
Okay.
If you have any questions, by all means, either call back or send me an email or a text message, and I'll help you with that, Dave.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Dave. I appreciate the call. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Kent, how long do you want to stay with us?
I'll stay with you till noon.
Okay, so you'll be with us till noon. So anybody that has a glass question, by all means, give us a call here in this last segment. We'll have Kent answer that. He's from Sterling Novus up in the Sterling area. So if you got a glass question, by all means, and we usually get plenty of glass questions on, you know, why is this way, or how do I do this, or how do I do that? So, hey, by all means, give us a call here in the next few minutes. We'll be right back. Drive Radio, KLZ 560.
Are you ready to revolutionize your ride? Look no further than Legacy Automotive, your one-stop destination for all your automotive needs. We're here to take your driving experience to the next level, whether you're an eco warrior or a diesel enthusiast. Are you the proud owner of an electric vehicle or hybrid? Legacy Automotive is your go-to expert for top-notch EV and hybrid service. Our team of certified technicians is well-versed in the intricacies of these cutting-edge vehicles. But that's not all. Legacy Automotive offers a range of services for all types of vehicles. From oil changes to brake repairs, tire rotations to transmission maintenance, we're here to ensure your ride performs at its peak. Our state-of-the-art facility is equipped with the latest diagnostic tools, so you can trust our experts to accurately diagnose and fix any issue. And did we mention our commitment to customer satisfaction? At Legacy Automotive, we pride ourselves on delivering a 5-star experience. From the moment you step through our doors, our friendly staff will greet you with a smile and provide personalized attention. We believe in transparency and integrity, so you'll always know what services you need and why. Your satisfaction is our driving force. So why wait? Experience the Legacy Automotive difference today. Just go to LegacyAutoBoulder.com to book an appointment. Whether you're an EV enthusiast, a hybrid aficionado, or a diesel devotee, we're here to keep you on the road with confidence. Legacy Automotive, where expertise meets excellence.
Most oil changes are the same. Old oil out, new filter, new oil in. It's a routine, a chore on the to-do list. What if your oil change wasn't the same as the rest? What if it was life-changing?
BG.
A BG oil change can change your life because it comes with free lifetime protection for your engine and fuel system, which means a lifetime of peace of mind for you. Find a shop near you at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
BG.
The friendly folks at your local Napa Auto Care Center appreciate their customers, and they like to show it. Stop by your Napa Auto Care Center today and ask for your customer loyalty card. It has a valuable offer you can use again and again. It's their way of thanking you again and again for your business and loyalty. Find your nearest store at NapaOnline.com.
Napa Know-How.
Have you ever thought about owning a classic car, hot rod, older truck, or an out-of-the-norm vehicle? Worldwide Vintage Autos is the place to go for all your vintage car and truck needs. With over 80,000 square feet of indoor showroom and warehouse space, they make the shopping experience easy. Every vehicle they sell is checked out by their own staff and is verified as a roadworthy vehicle, and this includes consignment vehicles. When you buy a vehicle from Worldwide, it's a vehicle you can safely drive home. They sell over 1,200 vehicles a year, and most of their inventory comes from people like you and me. If you want to eliminate the hassle of selling your vintage or unique vehicle, give them a call today. By the way, sign up today for the VIP list. They'll give you updates on all their new inventory that the general public doesn't see yet, and it's at a discounted price. Worldwide Vintage Autos. Don't let the name fool you. They sell worldwide, but their showroom is right here in Denver. Find them today at worldwidevintageautos.com or call 877-378-4679 and make sure you tell them John Rush from Drive Radio sent you. All right, we are back. Drive Radio, KLZ 560. Again, Kent from Novus Auto Glass Sterling with us today. Be with us till noon. Josh Goff from Legacy Automotive and Ridgeline up in Boulder and Fort Collins now. And then, of course, Justin with us as well. Same business that he's at as well. He's in the Boulder location, but we've got, again, folks at both locations. Real quick, I needed to mention this earlier. Sorry, didn't almost forget, but time flies. We have a new Napa store opening that we'll be at next Saturday. Actually, we got a couple of these opening up, but we're going to be at a new store opening up next Saturday. So those of you that are out east, it's 18364 East 104th Avenue in Commerce City. So we're going to be out there. Steve Horvath and I and others will be out there next Saturday. So if you're out and about running around next Saturday, be sure to stop in. We've always got good giveaways and things going on, so be sure to come by and say hi. And there's typically some good deals at the Napa store itself. As far as that goes, I will be announcing during Rush to Reason this week some of those specials, what those will be, and I'll let you guys know that. So there'll be some decent deals. Usually there's some tools and other parts and some sales and things that go on when they do a new store opening, so we'll have details on that as the week goes on. All right, Kent, back to the whole windshield end of things, and I know this is a big deal, and when it comes to the windshield, people tend to put things off, and it's sort of like shock absorbers. It wears and wears and wears, and then when you put a new windshield in, it's like, wow, I can actually see now, because as time goes by, that thing degrades. Now, here's a question that I think I've got for you, and I'm not sure that others don't have the same question. Will insurance cover just pits, or does it physically have to be cracked?
Most of the time, they will not cover just pits. They want it cracked or something like that. I mean, if it's super severe, they probably will, but most of the time they will not.
Okay.
I mean, you can always pay for your own and get it changed.
Now, when it comes to that crack, here's a question. Do they ever come and check, or how does that work? Or is it really up to the discretion of you guys as an installer?
Most of the time, they do not check. Once in a while, they will, but they leave it up to us or the insured.
Okay. Does that make sure I'm asking this correctly? We don't want to encourage fraud by any means when it comes to, you know, things insurance related and so on. I mean, how far gone does one have to get before they actually will replace it?
It has to be pretty far gone.
Okay.
I mean, if you're not sure, go to your agent, talk to them, show him what you have. You know, in this rural area, we see a lot of sand pitted windows, and
right,
they get pretty severe. And then when they get wet, they don't wipe correctly. You know, if you have a question, talk to your agent, and they can go.
Because it can be a safety issue at some point, right?
It can be.
Okay.
It definitely is.
Okay. So next question, side windows, which I'm, you guys all know me. I've talked about this enough on air where I will not roll a window down when it's dirty because I don't want the outside of the glass getting scratched. Is there any way to avoid that at all other than not rolling it? In other words, is there better, side wipers, things that you can put on the door itself to keep that from happening, or is it just simply don't roll the window down?
Basically, don't roll it down. It's just wear and tear, and if you live in a dirty climate, the dirt gets down in there and just rubs and scratches it, and that's just, we see it all the time. Just don't use it or learn to replace that window when it gets that bad.
Yeah, and then again, that goes back to that conversation we had earlier. There's really nothing you can do to buff those scratches out. Once they're in those side windows, they're in. It's a done deal, right?
Yeah, it's a done deal. Just replace it, move on. And it'll happen again, but
right,
you can change it.
There you go. All right, Gary in Denver, you got a question. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, John.
Hey, Gary.
I had a question about if you're looking to sell a used car and then buy a used car.
Okay.
So I've got a 2015 Kia Forte. It's a good car. It's only got 70,000 miles.
Okay.
And when I get prices on it from, say, a Carfax or a Carvana, the prices are so low. Like, they'll offer, like, $6,000. And yet, if you were to try to buy a used car, you can't find anything less than, like, $18,000. So why is there such a huge gap between what you can sell a used car for versus what you need to pay to buy a used car?
I'll let Justin, who's our expert on that, answer. Go ahead, Justin.
So, Gary, we buy a lot of cars off the street from people that are buying from new car dealerships. I'm not going to name any of the new car dealerships that are next to us down in Boulder, but they give these people some really low-ball offers on their cars, and I'm usually $3,000-$4,000 higher than the new car dealership. Yes, our dealership needs to recondition the car and make some money on it, but we want to be fair with you, so I'd be more than happy to give you a value on that car, and that car is right in our wheelhouse too.
Okay, well, that's good news, because the margin is, the difference is so huge. I gotta yep. believe these car companies that give you low ball estimates are making a huge profit on them.
Well, and really quick, Gary and Justin and Josh will know what I'm saying here. This comes back down to, and I preach about this literally every single week, the better the car is cared for, interior, exterior, going to Kent as far as the Novus and the glass, all of those things, Gary, factor in to a price that somebody like Justin's going to pay.
Yeah, Gary, the margin on a car like that, like a 2015 Kia Forte, the margin between trade-in and retail is typically only about $2,500 to $3,000. So if you're seeing this car's retailing for $15 and they're offering you $5, that's nowhere near what the margins actually are. You know,
correct.
There's usually about a $3,000 margin. Our dealership usually needs to be put about, you know, $1,500 to $2,000. If we make $1,000 on a car, I mean,
you're happy, right?
We're happy. Yeah. I mean, we're not making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. The new car dealerships are going to lowball you for
they want to make that $3,000 to $5,000, Gary.
Well, not only that, but a lot of times if you're trading it in at a Honda dealer, maybe that Kia is not in their wheelhouse. Well, they're going to take it to the auction, and they still want to make $2,000, $3,000, $4,000
at
the auto
auction. That's right.
That's why they're
that's exactly
offering you
right.
such a low offer.
Does that make sense, Gary?
Yeah, so if I'm understanding you right, let's say I wanted to buy the same exact car on the used market. Mm-hmm. I might pay $15,000 for a 2015 Kia Forte, and I could only sell my other, the one that I have now, I should be able to get somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 less than what it would cost me to buy.
No, if you do it correctly, even somebody like Josh up at Ridgeline would get you within a couple of thousand of that other car, you know, same value car within a couple of $1,000s. And keep in mind, Gary, you can always self-sell. That's hard to do. Not everybody's capable of it, but you can always self-sell and get the same value, maybe not quite as much as the dealer's getting because they've got financing and other tools available that you as a seller don't have, but you can get pretty darn close.
All right. I think I don't want to go through the brain damage, but I'll give Ridgeway a call and maybe we can work it out.
Great. Gary, I appreciate that very much. And Kent, you and I have talked about this many times as well, and Josh and Justin can chime in on this. The other thing people need to realize when they're looking at buying new cars versus doing this whole transaction yourself is the difference in the sales tax that you're going to be charged. Mm-hmm. When you're trading versus you selling yourself and going and buying a full-bore car at full price, you're losing the sales tax credit, I guess you could call it, of that trade-in, which you always have to factor into the total deal. And Kent, you and I have had that conversation off air many times.
Yes, we have. And it's not right, but you still have to take that in consideration, the sales tax part of it.
I don't think it's right either, because that used car is, you know, had it's been taxed over and over and over again. But it is what it is. Point being, if you sell that used car outright and you go buy another new car outright, there is no credit for the car you sold against the sales tax of the new car. The new car is full bore. Wherever you live, the sales tax that you live in, not where the dealership is, but where you live, is the sales tax you're going to be charged on that purchase, where when you trade the car in, you're only paying sales tax on the difference in price.
Correct.
And I don't think there's too many states, Kent, you're in, you know, you live in Nebraska, work in Colorado. I don't think too many states do that too much differently. It's pretty much the same across the board.
It's pretty much the same everywhere I've been.
That, by the way, that's also for those of you listening where you think, well, I can go buy a car out of state and maybe save $4,000 or $5,000. Well, you probably won't when it's all said and done because of what I just said. Mm-hmm. So you may think you could buy a car out of state cheaper. If you're trying to trade and do some things around that line, you're probably not going to save any money when it's all said and done. Kent, before I let you go and we get things closed out here for this hour, how many windshields go in an F-150?
There's probably 20 to 25 different windshields in F-150.
Oh, my word.
I always ask that because the number keeps increasing. And point being, those of you that are calling around for prices on windshields, until the glass shop physically sees your car, even the VIN number isn't necessarily always enough. Until they see your car, you may not even have a final price, right, Kent?
Exactly. Make sure you're comparing apples to apples.
Okay.
And there's a lot of cars with that same problem these days.
So, that, again, be careful when you're calling for prices, because it's not always going to be what you think it is my point, Kent.
That's exactly right.
All right, I'll let you go, man. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you, John.
You're very welcome. Have a great rest of your day. And again, that's Kent Novus Sterling. We'll be back on another full hour coming your way. Lines are open, 303-477-5600. We'll talk a few more used car things here when we come back as well and get you a few buying tips along those lines. Don't go anywhere. This is Drive Radio KLZ 560.
Still haven't had enough? Go to drive-radio.com. Email your questions and comments. Download previous programs and find lots of useful information, including your nearest Colorado Select Auto Care Center. That's drive-radio.com. Thanks for listening to Drive Radio, sponsored by the member shops of Colorado Select Auto Care Centers on KLZ 560.